my broadcast partner, Seth? You think you're going to bring him around and that's going to make a difference? Break it down real clear for you. You can walk back in that ring and make the point you came to make, or I can slap you in the lips and beat down your disciple in front of you, and we can figure this out another way. And if you're worried about Tom and how hard he was laughing, let me make this real clear, Seth. I was laughing harder than anybody at this table.
Joe, you do not want to do this.
No, Seth. I do.
This is Samoa Joe, and you're listening to the Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show on 1280 WHTK. Listen and feel the pain.
The time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Good morning, wrestling fans. Welcome to the Pain Clinic for August 8th. Holidays today, real quick. It's International Cat Day. National Clown Day. Sneak some zucchini onto your neighbor's porch day. Okay. Got a couple of birthdays today. Happy 46th to Impact Wrestling's Vice President, Scott D'Amore, and former guest on the show. Also, Rena Marrow-Sable, Mrs. Brock Lesnar, is 53 today. Happy 40th to Shayna Baszler. Did not realize she was 40 years old. Pretty cool. Pain Clinic's brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Donuts Light Empire Culver. Listen closely right here. Listen closely. UFC 252 will be shown at Salvatore's Saloon Saturday, August 15th. No cover. Main events, Cormier versus Miocic 3. Starts at 10 p.m. You got to get there early. That is Salvatore's Saloon in Scottsville, UFC 252. Hey, interested in roller derby? Want to be a skater, officiate? Rock City Roller Derby needs you. Contact recruitment at rockderbyrecruitment@gmail.com and join Rock City Roller Derby. If you're interested in the men's team, it's Flower City Fear, F-L-O-U-R. You can look it up, flowercityfear.com, and find their Facebook page. You can volunteer there as well. Welcome to the show today. I am the Cash Man. I am joined by the four squares of knowledge of wrestling in the world. It's DC Dan Cole from North Carolina. DC, how you doing today?
Doing fine. Good morning.
Good.
I think we should all kind of do like a Bray Wyatt, or not Bray Wyatt, a Braun Strowman thing today.
Oh, get really too close so that they, you know.
You're really angry and really close.
His radio right to your radio left. No, there's no radio left. It's radio right. It's Furby. What's up, buddy?
What up, everybody? Good morning.
I always try to catch somebody when they're drinking something, so just so I can make you talk while you're trying to drink.
Below, I slobbered all over myself.
That's good. Nobody can see that. All right, we got below you is the artiste, Rob Sanderson, still in Rochester, still, you know, living the COVID dream here. What's up, Rob?
Good morning. Cheers.
I heard that crack.
It's a coffee.
Oh, so, I was going to say, yeah, is it Millet time this early?
Maybe. I don't know.
And Danger Boy, bottom left corner, recent graduate. I saw your nice little degree you got up there today of bachelor's in science. Pretty cool, man. Just come in the mail today or something?
Yeah, I got the mail about 5 minutes before we went live, so.
Very
yeah, cool. That finally came after sitting for a month and a half at the school, but Yes, finally got a couple degrees under my belt.
Cool.
Danger 2 degrees.
That's right. So welcome to the show. We're here to talk about the world of pro wrestling. The funny thing is I can't print anything here, so that's why you may notice it's a different view if you're watching on Facebook Live right now, because I'm going to have to actually be able to use that computer that, that these guys' faces are on so that I can actually read some of the news and talk about some of the stuff that we had set planned to talk about. But first off, let's talk, you know, I mean, there's lots of news going around, and if you want to be, if you want to participate, the phone number is 222-1280. That's Fox Sports 1280, 222-1280. And Vince, I know you're listening, so if you want to call in and give us a heads up on some stuff, Vince, we'll definitely, you know, you can take advantage of this 22 years of knowledge on this show in the world of pro wrestling. But we're going to start off talking a little bit. I think, I mean, there's a lot of things going on, but we kind of had a shocker this Monday when Shane McMahon starts off Raw with a Fight Club or whatever the heck they call it, Raw Underground. What'd you guys think of Shane McMahon being brought back? First of all, they're in desperate situations, and usually, you know, and as Vince tries to always insist, he's trying to make new stars. So then what do we get first thing off on Monday night but Shane McMahon in our face? Nothing new there, folks. Nothing, you know it's the old McMahon family ratings ploy. But what did you guys feel about this past Monday Night Raw, especially that segment, you know, that beginning of the show?
Well, I don't necessarily hate the idea that they're going for. If they do it with some legitimate people who can actually do that kind of stuff, I don't think Shane McMahon needs to be attached to it at all. But seeing like Dolph Ziggler in his element of doing, you know, amateur wrestling was definitely interesting. I think it is 15 years too late to capitalize on the MMA trend. I think that ship has sailed, and the biggest negative of the whole thing was Shane McMahon and the dancers. There's no need for dancers like that in 2020.
Well, at least if they would keep the camera on them for more than a second, you know, it's like, who is it? Oh, they're gone. It's too late, you know. Danny?
I'm going to reserve comment.
I see you shaking your head, so.
I mean, okay. We've said we wanted to see them do different things. So I at least have to give them credit for trying to do something different. But it wasn't new. It wasn't anything new. It's rehashed ideas. It's Attitude Era and Brawl for All mixed with Fight Club. You know, it didn't personally do anything for me, but it was something different. So I'll give them that.
To me, from my perspective, it felt more comical than anything. I kind of felt like it was almost kind of a joke, to be honest. And really all it did, and the vibe that I got from it, was any sort of push of pushing the Hurt Business, really. And we saw them close the show with Lashley and MVP and Shelton Benjamin. And maybe this turns into a big angle for Lashley. Obviously, we know his previous MMA career. Maybe we get something great out of it. Who knows? But to me, the way that it started off, it kind of felt like a joke.
I will also give them credit for trying something new, and that's where the credit stops. I thought it was terrible. I thought it was stupid. I don't think so. I'm not an MMA fan, and I don't need this. And I think the MMA fans are also going to be like, what is this? Why don't I just watch MMA? My biggest problem was the production of it. We can complain left and right about the camera cuts and the crazy zooms and stuff. There was like 100 times more of that during that stuff. So I didn't like it at all. I don't think it's going to last very long. Yeah, credit for trying it, but I think it's dumb. We're in 2020 and we've fully acknowledged everywhere that wrestling's not exactly completely real. I don't need this. Like, it's just, I don't know. I didn't like it.
You make a good point.
That was the other thing. That was my other issue with it, is like, now they're trying to throw in a segment that is trying to make it seem more real than what it is, which makes the actual product of what they're trying to put in a ring seem even more less real. So it's kind of like, it almost seems like they're bashing their own product with an underground ring. It's like, whatever.
Well, let me point something out. Shane McMahon, back when Pride was for sale, back in like 2000, there was an MMA organization called Pride. Shane McMahon was like one step away from having the WWE buy this MMA group, and then they would have had to, like, you know, create TV for it and whatnot. Now, it didn't happen, but at that time we found out that's when Shane McMahon was very big into MMA, and then the UFC, of course, bought Pride, absorbed them in, as well as you know. So there was all Shane McMahon has always been the guy with, if you thought of MMA in the WWE, he's the guy that you would think of, because he's always been like involved in trying to start something or do something, you know. But I it is too little too late. It's like, it was definitely a hot shotted type of thing. We heard that Monday that they were in meetings for 4 hours with creative, and they pitched like 35 different angles, and they picked two to use on the show on Monday night. So they're trying to freshen it up. The problem is I think I'm seeing better wrestling and better writing on AEW's show right now. Honestly, I mean, that's after this past week. You know, without a doubt, there's more compelling stuff for me to want to watch that than what I'm seeing on WWE. Except for, what is this Devastation or whatever was that group that threw Molotov cocktails for about 2 seconds at the end of Raw, you know, at the Power Transformer. And then, of course, last night, if you saw the end of SmackDown, the last 5 minutes was them beating everything up with a bat, you know.
Oh, you mean Nexus?
I don't know what they are. I think they kind of
Vince's interpretation of Antifa.
Exactly.
You know.
Yeah. Also, really stupid Retribution. Yeah.
That's it.
I'm all for the idea of doing a new stable and maybe, you know, some different people. Obviously, like they're building up this little bit of mystery as to who's in it, and people are starting to guess.
Well,
like,
I know there's a girl in it. I can definitely tell there's a woman in one of those under one of those masks.
Like two.
Oh, at least okay, two.
And but I mean, who knows, like, when they unmask or whatever. I don't know. I don't necessarily love what they've done so far, but I'm intrigued to see, like, where it goes once they do unmask and stuff. If it is Vince just trying to do his play off of current serious events this year, I'm not all for it. But I don't know. A new stable could be intriguing, and maybe a chance to actually build up some new stars.
Rob, you're Mr. Optimist today. Sorry, I got to throw that out there. You're Mr. Optimist.
Oh, no, yeah, I fully expected that this would be a show where it would just be bashing WWE on my person, because I didn't like... I can be optimistic about what they're going to do with the stable. I didn't like what they've done so far.
Sure.
I don't get it. Like, more so underground than Retribution, but I don't think WWE hit any home runs this week.
I don't like the fact that they've given a name to the stable before really even introducing the stable. Like, why are we randomly just giving a name to this group that we know literally almost nothing about yet? Like, let them build themselves first. Let them do their running attacks. Let them announce their name of what the heck they're going to be called. Why do we got to put a name to these people before we even know who they are? I find that kind of dumb.
It's going to be Adam Cole and his buddies, because they're all little guys. You can definitely tell that.
I will say that on Monday when they announced, like, oh, there's going to be a new stable tonight, it worked, because there were a lot of people like me who were like, I have no desire to watch Raw tonight. And then I saw that and I was like, fine, I'll put it on in the background. And then nothing really happened Monday. And I was like, okay, thanks for wasting my time.
I gotcha. It was all a ratings ploy. And I think they had to come out with a name for them so people didn't call them Antifa, or maybe like, oh, look, it's what Sanity could have been doing.
And that's what Danger said, you know?
True.
Danger said, Sanity, come back?
It's one of the voices sounded like Eric Young. That's what threw me off for a second.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see if those are actually the guys that are, you know, unmasked as the leaders of this when it's all done. I expect them to have, like, followers and all that. If those are the size people they're going to use and be that least, you know, unintimidating, I don't care if you have weapons or not. I'm sorry, those guys were all about 5'8".
Yeah, they were little guys.
Vince is never going to continue with that the way that they could. And the fact that they don't know how to use spray paint – It was just baffling.
Yeah, if you saw
it, I give credit to the one person online who said that the group name, based on how they've been acting, should be called the Dork Order.
Well, it's funny, Dave. You know, it's just the way. That's the way. If you didn't see SmackDown last night, the last 5 minutes was these guys spray painting the plexiglass, spray painting the front, the ring apron. You know,
were they sanitizing the ring with the spray paint? Because they were like 4 feet above the ground when they were spraying it on the ring.
Maybe they're the janitors that work there, you know, and they just wanted to get an early start on it or something. I don't know. Sorry. Yeah, so that was the big revelation in WWE this past week. Obviously, they're grasping for things, you know. Yeah, I mean, we kind of got their voices a little bit because you could hear them screaming while no one was mic'd up or gave a promo or anything. But like I said a minute ago, I find better writing. I mean, this past week on AEW, and we'll talk about this in the next segment. Might as well go to break now. But I want to talk a little bit about the Chris Jericho, Orange Cassidy, Eric Bischoff appearance on AEW this past week. And it's like, and how, and you'll probably hear lots of pieces of it because I did find it quite funny at certain parts. But I want to just talk about that and, you know, where they're going and Orange Cassidy picks the mic up and says something, you know, a couple times. I was really impressed. So you're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. We'll be back right after this.
Can you imagine, Chris? I mean, you're Chris Jericho, man. You've done it all. All the things that we can Google later. But I'm telling you right now, Chris, what if this? What if Chris Jericho loses to the guy that puts his hands in his pockets?
For the past 5 years, I've been a man who may log roll down to the ring, a man who may pour a box of cereal on the head of an eager adult, a man whose popcorn gift is widely used around the world, still one of my proudest accomplishments. I've been an entertainer, a tag partner, and a friend. But now I finally get to answer the question of what could have been. What could have been if they just passed him the ball? What could have been if they let him run it alone?
Face your fears. Face the monster.
I have no choice here but to declare that, Mr. Cassidy, you've walked away with this debate.
What?
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on.
What are you talking about?
I'm sorry, that global warming thing got me.
Hi, this is Eric Bischoff, and you're listening to the Pain Clinic on 1280.
Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. And I think Orange Cassidy's thoughts on the environment and got me as well. You guys enjoy AEW this past week? I mean, we're getting a pretty competitive Wednesday night, you know? I mean, WWE's not laying down, you know? They're definitely trying to throw some stuff out there. And they both pulled really good numbers this past week. Definitely drew more wrestling fans than ever watched either show, if you add them together, so far on Wednesday night. So kudos to AEW, kudos to NXT, but NXT did fall a little bit farther behind, almost 200,000 viewers. So what'd you think, Danger, of Eric Bischoff appearance? We kind of knew about it a little bit in the middle of, Saturday or Sunday, that someone had hinted about it. And
The fact the show was taped definitely didn't, you know, spoilers happen. You see him. That may have actually drawn some fans, though, because, you know, interesting to see what Bischoff's going to do in his first time back on TNT in 20 years. And Bischoff's a solid performer. Bischoff always delivers when he's in that performance role. It's when he's backstage that he doesn't necessarily do anything good. So it was decent to see. It was nice to see. I am glad they didn't go out and, like, immediately sign him, though, or anything like that. And it was a one-time deal. I'd like to see him sparingly, if at all.
What about you guys? What do you think?
I like the segment. I like the whole segment, really, to be honest. It was great. It was funny. It really showed the side of Orange Cassidy that I think we really all want to see. There was the humor, but also the convincingness. And I think it just further builds the story between him and obviously Jericho. And Jericho said he likes working with Orange. And I think we're going to see end up finally putting Orange Cassidy over Jericho, and Jericho taking a pinfall to Orange.
I will say one thing. Orange Jericho came out and said he didn't get Orange Cassidy when he first saw him, but Jericho's a smart guy when it comes to listening to the crowds, and he, every time, and you know, like for instance, you may have noticed on the Pain Clinic Facebook page last week, I posted the nine-man suplex where Cassidy came in and was the last guy. I don't know if anyone got a chance to see that, but very entertaining. But as soon as Cassidy came in, it was deafening. You could not. So I think Chris Jericho realized that this is a guy to work with because he's like getting hot. He's like getting really hot, even with no crowd. He's still, you know, it's definitely a hot character, and I think that's what convinced him to be able to want to work with him. And now it's like, and then Chris Jericho, he's in his wheelhouse right now. He's really doing a great character. I mean, I'm enjoying, you know, I mean, it is the arrogant Chris Jericho that we love and know from, you know, years ago. But still, I'm enjoying what they're doing, and I hope they can make it stretch a little bit farther. Danny, you got any thoughts on that?
No, yeah, I agree. My favorite part of the whole debate was, of course, the global warming thing. I felt like he channeled Will Ferrell in old school in that little bit. But I mean, you can definitely tell that they're getting ready to kind of go full throttle on pushing Cassidy, and I think it's good. I think it's, you know, how we talked in the first segment about, oh, WWE needs to do something new. Orange Cassidy is something new. He's almost like making fun, you know, his whole persona from people that didn't know much about him. It's like, oh, he's mocking wrestling, or he makes a joke of wrestling. But I think he's exactly the kind of fresh air you need nowadays with the product.
I will say that he posted on Twitter this past week. He's like working out, and they have the best friends are working out in the gym, and Cassidy's sitting on the bench looking at his phone. I mean, it was perfect. It's like, he knows how to ride that character. So and Artis, you know him better than any of us. You know this has got to be great.
Yeah, I mean, every week it's still awesome to think that we're in 2020 and now he's a major star on TNT. And I think if I think about everything in wrestling right now, the Orange Cassidy stuff is maybe the main stuff that I really wish we had a crowd for, because some of these pops would just be unbelievable for this stuff. The segment was great. I think it was cool to see Bischoff. I don't really know if he added a ton to it. It was kind of just like reading questions, and I don't know. I mean, I'm fine with it. Like, I enjoyed seeing him. It did get spoiled, even though I didn't want it to be spoiled. That's the nature of social media these days. Like, back in the day, we used to have to search out SmackDown spoilers, and now a Facebook comment pops up, and there it is, you know, something on Twitter or whatever. But I thought it was really good. I think it's cool because, you know, there are a lot of people right now that are just like, oh, AEW, all they care about are these former WWE mid-carders, and they talk about people like Zack Ryder and Luke Harper and all these people and stuff, and it's like, well, they're building up guys too. They're building up MJF, they're building up Orange Cassidy, they're building up Jungle Boy, not so much Griff Garrison, but, you know, all these guys, it's good to see. I'm looking forward to the match, and I agree that this could be, Wednesday could be huge in terms of Orange Cassidy being a longtime star. And I don't know. I also would agree that Chris Jericho is maybe better than ever right now, honestly. I mean, we've enjoyed so much of his stuff for decades, but he is very entertaining with everything he's been doing since AEW started.
AEW actually did announce this morning that they added the stipulation to that match that both Inner Circle and Best Friends are completely banned from ringside. So hopefully we just get to see a solid one-on-one match between those two.
How the Best Friends going to get there when Mom's van was all destroyed, you know? But I will say,
that's what insurance is for, Cash.
Inside that van. That's what I don't like.
I will tell you, if you want to see Chris Jericho, he's going to be in Rochester October 16th, Montage Music Hall with his band Fozzy. Just throwing that out there, and hopefully we'll get him on before that actually happens. Get him on the air with us and talk a little bit about what's going on, because he is definitely one
on to good things. You know, the funny thing is, it makes me think of someone like Zack Ryder, who if WWE had jumped on board with kind of like Orange Cassidy back when he was hot, you know, generating his own heat before he ever really got much television time. But, you know, it just shows you the different the different processes in creation, you know. And it's like, you know, WWE always used to like kind of take, you know, if someone else created it, you know, then they don't want to be a part of it. They won't jump on board. But, you know, that's not the same thing with what's going on, because Orange Cassidy's been this pocket-handed guy for, you know, way before he ever came here to AEW. That was always kind of, that was like this, one of his last incarnations before he started. So it's a cool thing, you know, and I'm kind of excited about to see what happens this week. I definitely think Cassidy goes over, you know, why not?
What I really like, and I think we're starting to see it more and more and more, and I think to me it was more prominent with this week's episode of Dynamite. There, you know, in the beginning, the AEW was using a lot of the former WWE stars. Obviously, you needed some sort of name to build the product, to get some name recognition, to get people to view, to be introduced to some of the new guys, the homegrown talent, if you will, and you know, some of the other guys, mid-card levels that they want to create into stars. And I think we saw that a lot this week, you know, starting with obviously the Orange Cassidy Jericho segment. You know, obviously a lot of people are big on Cassidy now, but then obviously the evolution of MJF, you know, using the title scene. You know, we've seen him feud with Cody. We've now got this whole deal with Moxley, you know, really starting to evolutionize MJF as a star. Darby Allin, another guy that's being introduced, you know, with his feud with Taz and Brian Cage, you know, he, you know, going to war with Moxley, you know, in the main event on Wednesday, taking these, if you will, little lesser known guys from the beginning, starting to build them up into stars for, you know, years to come for Dynamite. And I think they're going about it right now.
Yeah, I definitely would agree. Danger, you have any thoughts on that?
The only thought I have, you know, Jericho's stuff he's doing right now is entertaining, but you have to wonder whether Jericho's doing it. You know, I love that he's working with Cassidy. I love how he's worked so far. But before he hopped on that Hardy train earlier, it looks like some of the stuff he's doing with his career is, one, helping people get over, but at the same time also keeping himself over.
Yeah, and that's Jericho. You know, he wants to work with the hot commodities. You know, he wants to be in that, you know, and I mean, first champion of the company. So, I mean, I think he's probably got a lot of creative control, too. But he's a guy that I would let have that because he understands what's good for the business.
I also think he should go over on Wednesday underhandedly so they can set it up for All Out. And that's when you have Orange go over.
True. You know, it's not a bad idea. You know, I mean, we'll see what happens, but I think building up a match for a couple of weeks is going to probably keep these high numbers that they got. They're almost at 1 million right now viewers, but you know, which is great for a Wednesday night. You know, I mean,
I just hope they don't lose some momentum with the NBA taking them off their spot for a while.
Yeah, there is some news there, and why don't we go to break, come back, talk a little bit news, and maybe some other stuff too. You're listening to Derby Rocks. I'm sorry. You're listening to Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. We'll be back right after this. That's the first time I did that.
He's waiting for you, Ron. My advice is you just give him what he wants.
You're a nobody. You're a flash in the pan. Nothing more than a ginger jackass who plays pocket pool on a weekly basis. And Mr. Bischoff, I am finished with my statement.
What are your thoughts on this very serious global situation?
What? Chef, what are you talking about? That's got nothing to do with this situation. Next question.
Mr. Cassidy?
Sea level continues to rise at about the rate of 1/8 of an inch per year. The higher sea level enables storm surges to push further inland and therefore increase the extremely dangerous flooding in coastal communities. Failure to minimize our fossil fuel use and reduction of carbon emissions can be devastating to the estimated 40% of the population of the United States that lives in these coastal communities, and globally, 8 of the world's largest 10 cities. Thank you.
This is Madison Rain, and you're listening to the Pain Clinic on WHTK. Feel the pain.
Welcome back to the Pain Clinic.
I don't know if you guys caught the beginning of the show, but if you are interested in going out to see UFC 252, which is a week from today, it'll be at Salvatore Saloon in Scottsville. There'll be no cover. And, of course, it's the main event. It's going to be Cormier versus Miocic 3, which is, you know, Cormier won the first one, Miocic won the second one, and we get now we get the one to settle it all, and Miocic is now the heavyweight champ at the time. Starts at 10 p.m. You want to get there early. Come on down to Salvatore Saloon in Scottsville for UFC 252. Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. We're here to talk. It actually is a UFC tonight, too, I believe. Maybe on ESPN. I haven't really checked, but it seems like every weekend there was one for a while. So, but we've got, I've got, I am the Cash Man, if you don't know that. I'm here with DC Dan Cole, Furby, Danger Boy, and the Artiste, the Four Squares of Knowledge, if you're watching on Facebook Live, and me. And then welcome back to the show, guys. How's your week been, by the way? Really haven't really caught up at all about, you know, how's everything going? It seems, you know, I got good news yesterday. I do work for as an audiovisual technician most of the time in the West Rondequoit School District. And I got news that they accepted our plan and we're going to be starting school in September. So I'm kind of excited about that. What about you guys? Any big news this week, or is it, you know, same as always? You know, you're trapped where you are. DC, you're the first one. DC, you're in North Carolina, so I know that you're trapped there.
I've been trapped working from home since June of 2019.
That's when you moved there, right?
I know.
How about you, Ferbs?
Well, I'm stuck here at least till the first of the year, Allstate announced, and not really sure how much other information I can give out, but cuts are looking to be coming, and everybody has to take an assessment, so we'll see in about 2 months.
Oh, my goodness. That sucks. Sorry about that. Danger, thanks. Danger, you're actually working, right, Danger?
They actually transitioned to kick us out of our branches, and I will be working from home until at least January 4th, starting after my vacation ends next week.
Yeah. And Artiste, I know you're trapped in Rochester. It might not be a bad place, though, right, Mr. Artiste?
Yeah, I mean, it's no August South Texas humidity, so that's nice. Minor league sports, junior hockey and stuff, like that's still a whole mess, but luckily the NHL has come back safely. I don't think lower levels can really survive and do the same thing yet, so I'm kind of still in this holding pattern, but I will say last night was incredible in the NHL. It was, I don't know, very nice to have exciting sports on, and really excited too for my buddy Everett Fitzhugh was named yesterday the first ever team broadcaster that's black in the National Hockey League for the new team in Seattle.
All right. Very cool.
He was in Cincinnati, which is the ECHL affiliate of the Amherst and the Sabres. And so that was just tremendous news yesterday. Really, really happy for him. Great guy, great broadcaster. So we'll see what happens with the rest of the hockey world. I mean, there's some junior leagues that want to start up on time or only a month delayed and stuff, and I just don't think from financial aspects, from safety aspects, from everything else, like it's a lot different being the NHL where they've just got big money advertising and TV contracts. So for the rest of us, I don't know what the heck's going to happen, but just kind of waiting.
Well, I will say hockey, you know, I'm a Caps fan, you know that, so I'm rooting for my Caps. But I've enjoyed, you know, last Saturday night, I got to watch the Montreal, Pennsylvania, Pitt game there with that went into overtime. Montreal won, but I think Pitt ended up winning, or Pennsylvania, Pittsburgh ended up winning the series there. But
No, they did not.
Oh, they did not.
Pittsburgh's bounced.
Oh, I am sorry. Nuts. I am sorry.
With the first overall draft pick because Gary Bettman.
Yeah, that's the one thing that doesn't really make sense. Yeah, not to go on a huge hockey tangent, but the last night's Toronto comeback, they're down 3-0 facing elimination with 4 minutes left. They come back to win in overtime, which was just absolutely nuts. Even as somebody who grew up absolutely hating the Leafs, that was so exciting to watch. It was my first time yelling at my TV with sports in so long. The nightcap late last night was former RIT Tiger Chris Tanev scoring the series clincher for Vancouver in overtime against Minnesota. So it was a fun night. It's still August, it's still weird, but I like that the NHL is doing it right, unlike, you know, some other sports have and will.
I will say that the Brody Lee's probably got to be happy then. That's for sure. Yeah, you know.
Oh, yeah.
If you ever catch him in a catch him out, sometimes he tends to be wearing a Toronto jersey here or there. But definitely, so that's cool. Yeah, and a lot of sports going on right now. But you know, we're here to talk World of Pro Wrestling, and I did see the phone ringing, and I couldn't get to it in time. So if you had a call, you can try back again. 222-1280 star 1280. Some news this past week: MVP signed a deal, a couple year deal with WWE. He announced yesterday. I think it's a good thing. I think MVP is one of the good things that's been happening, I guess, with Raw. You know, it's good to have a mouthpiece, you know, that's not Lana when it comes to Bobby Lashley. So, you know, I enjoy that. There's some other news. Well, I mean, Shane McMahon kind of the company he worked for, he's an executive, he's kind of getting sued because of false claims for I don't know if whatever the company did, but apparently they bought like this huge thing supposedly in China, and then all they did was send doctored pictures to somebody to show them what the money had been invested in, and it wasn't there because when they went to China there was nothing there. So Shane McMahon's in trouble and is being sued, possibly maybe even I'm not going to say jail time, but it's like it's funny they bring him back this week, and then this big case against him comes out for his company that he was working for when he left WWE. So hopefully he'll turn out okay. I mean, his dad's got a lot of money, so he definitely has some good lawyers. But that was a piece of the news. You guys, did you guys see that? Did you guys understand what they were talking about?
I saw it. I didn't really like understand what's going on until like what I read this morning. So I wasn't really involved with anything that was going on. Until you said something last night, I was like, I didn't even know anything was going on.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of hush-hush.
I think the bigger news going on right now is the shakeup at TNT that might play into AEW's future
after
their current deal runs out.
That scared me because I remember that's how WCW disappeared, because the guy that was like the big proponent in the executive ended up losing his job. And when that happened, WCW got canceled. So now the guy who's like huge with AEW is just getting shaken out of TNT. And I mean, you're right, Danger. Does it remind you of that?
100%. It took a little while after the AOL Time Warner and all that kind of merger, for TBS and TNT and all them to run wrestling out. It took a little while, but they didn't want it there after that. If the person who steps in that position, because this is the guy who greenlit AEW and put them on TNT, if the person that steps into that position doesn't like wrestling, they're going to have problems past, you know, not necessarily for the next couple of years because they have this deal. But, I mean, they could cancel the deal, too. They can get canceled. It's TV. It's always one-sided to the network. So it could be a huge, huge story when it fully pans out.
Yeah, what was the guy's name in WCW? Brad something? I remember it was...
Was it Brad Siegel?
Yeah, Brad Siegel, who lost his job, and then they canceled WCW, and then Vince McMahon said, oh, okay, I'll give you nothing for it. And they said, okay, here, take it for nothing.
$2 million. He paid less than for WCW, which had all that tape library and all the... I mean, he didn't get all the stars, but he paid less for WCW than The Rock paid for XFL with nothing.
And that's another thing I wanted to bring up. This news this week, it came out that The Rock and his wife, ex-wife, Danny Garcia, and their company made a pitch for the XFL through bankruptcy court. And it came out yesterday that they were accepted. So now Rock is the owner of XFL. Anybody in Hollywood always wants to attach their name to The Rock somehow, either as a host or a producer or something. So if he's involved with the XFL, do you think we're going to get a second season next year? Or is this going to... I don't know what this means.
He said he wants to run it. He said he wants to do it. He feels there's something owed to the fans, and he wants to put his clout behind it. I mean, he paid between the two of him and the investment company, they paid $15 million for the XFL. So they're not going to just do nothing with it, because there's not that much tangible assets for it. So they're going to run something.
I definitely.
The Rock hasn't had a failure since the Tooth Fairy, so my money's on The Rock.
I definitely feel something's going to happen with it. I think it's really all contingent on COVID. And it's a bad time, I think, really, to buy it, but good that, you know, we see that he wants to do something with it and make a name of it. I think it was one of those things that was kind of catching steam when it was running, obviously, before everything happened. So all power to him.
Maybe The Rock won't have the narcissism that Vince has, and he'll work with the NFL and maybe turn it into that minor league that that the NFL actually needs. They need to have, you know, ready players for things, especially during COVID time, because you never know what's going to happen. If something happens like in baseball, football doesn't have the backup to just put out a second team like the Marlins have.
And that could even work out even better for the XFL and the NFL. So that would be a great partnership, really.
Well, I was thinking that if worse comes to worse, at least he'll have the rights to produce all those T-shirts for each of the teams and all the logos and to make all the merchandise. You know, I mean, and pretty much a lot of those were hot sellers when they first were announced. Now, COVID-19 did shut down the U.S. or the XFL. It stopped everything. I mean, it stopped the world back in March, but that's what led to the bankruptcy of the XFL. I kudos to The Rock. I would love to see what he does with it. It's good that he's getting involved in something besides making movies. I mean, yes, I didn't mind a couple of his movies were okay. I don't know. Yeah, Danny, you think they all were good except for the Tooth Fairy, but
they all make money.
Yeah, it's true. They do make a lot of money, and I'm sure, you know. And but right now, even he's sitting at home right now. Even The Rock is like waiting for stuff to go on. So that's cool. On that note, we're going to take a break. We got to get our Buffalo Bills break in here and everything. And we got one more segment. If you want to give us a call, 222-1280, *1280 is the number. We'll be back right after this on Fox Sports 1280.
Focus on being me. Focus on being Matthew Hardy, the man who is stronger than death, the unkillable one. And that is what I'm going to do on screen.
Why is Orange Cassidy so popular?
You know why he's so popular? I'll tell you why. Because he's the epitome of everything that's wrong in pro wrestling today. He's the epitome of every idiot, smart mark fan in this arena tonight and watching at home. He's lazy, he's arrogant, he's entitled, he's overbearing, and he's a pimple on the ass of the pro wrestling business.
This is Y2J Chris Jericho, the hero of the Pain Clinic on 1280 WHTK.
Yeah. Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. Yeah, Orange Cassidy may be those, but he's more, much more than that. Welcome back. I'm the Cash Man with Danger Boy, Furby, DC Dan Cole, and the artiste all over the place. Furby in Hilton, DC, North Carolina, Dangers and Gates. Artiste is in Rochester, and as well as I am on the 16th floor, the Five Star Bank Building. Welcome back to the show. Got a couple pieces of news that we can squeeze in. You see the Rey Mysterio, there's news that came out this past week that Rey Mysterio is working without a contract with WWE. I'm guessing that maybe they have a deal with Dominic, you know, and him. You know, if Rey comes and works, maybe we'll push Dominic. And AEW, this like a week ago or whatever, actually sent a contract to pay Rey more to come work for them. But I'm guessing that Dominic might be the motivating factor for why Ray's working without a contract. You guys have any thoughts on that?
From what I saw and when I was reading this morning, there actually is a done deal between WWE and Ray. Not sure of what the terms and the length are, but one of the biggest playing factors was the usage of Dominic. So I feel like that is definitely a big part in. I think we'll start to see a little bit more of Ray again inserted into this feud between Dominic and Seth going into SummerSlam. So, yeah, I definitely think it was definitely a big piece.
You know how all
so
of us...
What you're telling me, though, is in a turn of events, Dominic is being used to determine custody of Rey Mysterio.
Perfect. Yeah. You know,
huge swerve, 15 years in the making.
I was going to say, we've been hoping for this swerve with Dominic and Ray and Seth Rollins to happen sometime during this mm-hmm. run. And it's been a long run. And we were hoping for this, what, December? I mean, you know, So, you know, and even remember when he was messing with Brock Lesnar as well, you know, that we were hoping for a Dominic turn. I'm still hoping for one because I kind of, you know, I mean, obviously Dominic's trained. He knows what he's doing now. You can tell when he jumps off the corner and does a flying body press to someone outside the ring, you know. But, you know, I'm kind of enjoying this. And then maybe I just can't see it boosting Ray back. You know, that's why maybe there won't be a turn. I don't know. Danger, think of thoughts on that? Oh, you're muted. Danger, you're muted. I think you're muted.
Ray wants what's best for his kid, and he wants his kid to train at the Performance Center. And he's obviously been doing some training. He obviously trained before, we know that. But he's been doing some training. They're letting him – I mean, his first ever match that we're going to see is going to be SummerSlam against the guy who is the second top guy on Raw in Seth Rollins. So that's something. Ray's looking out for his kid at this point. He's got money. He doesn't need – whatever show he's on, he's going to garner the same popularity. So whoever does best for his child is what he's going to do. And I'm just disappointed that we didn't actually get to see Joe get back into the ring on Monday.
True.
And to be honest, what I've seen from Dominic so far in the ring, obviously a lot of it's just run-ins. But like some of the stuff he's done, like it's not bad. It's been pretty smooth.
I'm just trying to figure out why Ray's so invested in Dominic when it's Eddie Guerrero's kid.
Right. We knew that in Rochester, right? Who was your poppy? That's right. Remember that, that SmackDown here in Rochester? We were on the floor, and it was like the whole thing was going on. Anyone else have any thoughts on that? Because I got a couple of things real quick.
I don't know. To not be too negative, whatever, I'm just going to say I don't care about Dominic's match, and I don't want to watch him wrestle on SummerSlam with his first match a night after we have to watch Pat McAfee wrestle, too.
Yeah, his first match as well. DC?
Don't want any of that.
We could place bets on who's going to have the better first match.
Oh, yeah, maybe we should do that, too. Okay, so the two other pieces of news before we get out of here. One, both the Bella twins both had their babies within a day of each other this past week. So, you know, congrats, Daniel Bryan. And I think, what's the guy's name? Artem, that's with Nikki. He's a Dancing with the Stars dude. Congrats to
Artem.
Them. Yeah, something like that. And last thing this week we wanted to mention, and I don't even know if I want to mention it or not, but I will bring it up. Marty Jannetty this past week came out and said that at 13 years old, he killed somebody. Okay. Now, Marty Jannetty is really good for telling stories, you know, so it makes me wonder how legit it was. It was like, I guess, in a Boston.com YouTube interview. Marty is Marty, and, you know, he's been to town a few times here. I remember he you know, and it was, and people loved him. But what do you guys think?
He's
about
an idiot.
Okay,
he's an idiot. He's a drunk. He's a druggie, and he probably made it up. But he's also getting unwanted police suspicion now because he did say it. So if they find anything with someone missing around that time in that area, he might be charged with murder because he's an idiot.
Yeah, it was a Facebook post where he's an idiot, and then I somehow made it through that interview that's on YouTube that he did with the Boston radio, which was, yeah. I mean, even just with a few seconds, within a few seconds of him opening his mouth, I couldn't stand listening to him. And it's disappointing as somebody who was a big Rockers fan when I first started watching wrestling, but I don't care at all about Marty Jannetty at this point.
I just got one final thought kind of off of Marty Jannetty, but interesting story coming out this week of where potentially SummerSlam might be held. Rumors of it being in Atlantic City. So even though they canceled it in Boston, now SummerSlam wants to follow me to Atlantic City because I will be there that weekend for the GCW shows, and Beyond Wrestling announced a show that week. So I'm going there that one too. Maybe I could sneak in SummerSlam if they have fans. So it's going to be one heck of a week.
Dude, it's too close. They can't just suddenly announce it this close to, honestly, it's going to be in the Performance Center. You know, I mean, they're not tricking anybody. Though there is news this week that WWE wants to be back on the road by September. So we'll see what happens. You know, I don't know what that means, being on the road by September, doing empty arenas. That's what it's going to be like, apparently. But, I don't know. That's kind of a kettle of fish right now. But Vince McMahon really wants to be on the road again.
He wants it outside. You got a spot on the beach, you can do it.
Okay. Well, That's all the news that's fit to squeeze in this hour of radio here on Fox Sports 1280. And I want to thank you guys for giving me a time once again. Danger, thank you so much. Thank you, DC. Thank you, Furby and the Artiste. We'll do this again next week if you guys are all cool to it, because the four squares of knowledge have got to be to have their voice heard. So, and that's what we do here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. on Fox Sports 1280. You guys have an incredible week. Please, and stay safe, stay COVID-free, and we'll see you next week. We're out of here. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280.